Hi, welcome to STANLIB's weekly economic podcast. My name is Kevin Lings and I'm the chief economist within STANLIB. The intention with these weekly podcasts is to unpack some of the key economic developments that have unfolded over the past week. And this week, I think we need to focus on South Africa's GDP data. It came out for the fourth quarter of the year. So that gave us the annual performance for 2024. And it also gave us some detail on particular sectors and how they're performing. So I think we can go through a bit of an update. It'll be fairly quick on South Africa's overall economic performance. We have got the budget coming out, or the second attempt at the budget, on Wednesday this week. And I think one or two quick comments about what's expected as the resolution for the 2% VAT increase that the Minister of Finance initially proposed. The second topic is to go back to the US. Obviously, a lot of data out of the US last week, particularly on the labor market. So I think a quick update on their labor market performance, and then highlighting some of the concerns around what's called survey data. Survey data is not as reliable, not as accurate as their hard economic data. So hard economic data would be something like the employment report. Soft economic data would be something like the consumer confidence report or business confidence report. But if you look at the survey data, it has weakened appreciably, and there's a growing concern that Trump's policies could end up weakening the US economy appreciably. So I think we need to chat about that as well. So let's start with a discussion on South Africa's GDP performance. Fourth quarter data out last week, and the economy grew by 0.6%. That's measured quarter on quarter. That growth rate was below expectations. Most people were thinking the growth rate would be up at about 0.8%, 0.9%. So a distinct disappointment, I would suggest. And what it means is that for the year as a whole, so this is 2024 as a whole, the South African economy grew by a mere 0.6%. Now, if you consider that the population is growing at roughly 1.5%, then clearly 0.6% is just not going to generate the type of employment growth that we need in terms of the emerging population and certainly the growth in the labor force. If you then add on top of that the fact that South Africa's growth over the last 10 years has averaged 0.8% a year, which is also over a 10-year period well below the population growth, then it's very clear that South Africa's GDP per capita is declining. And as your GDP per capita declines, then clearly income inequality is exacerbated, wealth inequality, and just generally it aggravates social tension and it feeds over into other things like increased crime levels. If I break down the GDP performance, there were only three sectors that made a positive contribution to the growth rate. The one was the retail sector. I think that's understandable if you think about the two-pot withdrawal. And a lot of that money went into shopping, not all of it, but there was a significant portion of the two-pot withdrawal that simply went shopping. The other sector that showed a positive contribution was the financial services, including banking. And we have seen a little bit more banking activity, and some of that banking activity also related to the two-pot withdrawal. And then the third sector was the agricultural sector. Now, I think that's a bit misleading, because if you look at the agricultural sector's performance in the third quarter, that was a sharp negative or decline in agricultural output. So the fourth quarter improvement is really just reflecting a very low base. And I don't think it's indicative of necessarily some sort of major performance or outperformance of our agricultural sector overall. So what that means for South Africa is we're still not gaining economic momentum. There's still not enough economic sectors contributing. Our growth rate hasn't broadened out enough. And I just want to flag one sector in particular that I would regard as absolutely critical for South Africa's economic success, and that is the construction industry. The construction industry in total for last year had another negative performance, but I think what has been missed is that construction activity has declined in each of the past 8 years, which means that over that 8-year period, construction activity has declined by more than 30%. It's very difficult to turn around an economy like South Africa, very difficult to really create jobs and improve infrastructure if your construction sector is not just in recession, but is in a state of depression. So a dismal performance going on within construction. The other sectors don't fill me with a whole lot of confidence. And this economy overall is screaming out for a better approach to economic stimulus, economic growth, and understanding that we need a better role for the private sector in how it partners with government in order to initially drive infrastructure and then broaden out the growth dynamic. If we don't change policy, then the feeling would be that our growth rate continues to languish at below the population growth rate, and ultimately that is not a survivable outcome. So we urgently need the growth rate to move up. The expectation is this year we'll get a growth rate going at about 1.5%, but I need to stress, for me, the risk to that 1.5% at the moment is to the downside. And in order to achieve that 1.5%, I think we're going to have to make more progress on some of the construction projects, some of the private-public partnerships on infrastructure development. We're going to have to see that there is policy implementation. And then, yes, we would become more encouraged. And I think if we can get that, the upside is significant off a low base. But we need more proof, more indicators that South Africa is willing to implement these types of policy changes and draw the private sector increasingly into the development of South Africa's ailing infrastructure. The second South African topic I think is just worth mentioning is the fact that we've got the budget on Wednesday, the second attempt at the budget. I don't think there's going to be huge surprises. I think most of what we've had in the first budget attempt is simply going to be carried over to the second. So in terms of revenue collection, most of the tax changes, I think we know what those look like. The focus is going to be how did government decide to resolve the 2% VAT increase. It's clear they can't simply go ahead with 2% VAT. It's also clear that there have been various suggestions made at a cabinet level, and that cabinet has simply picked a few of those suggestions and said to National Treasury, please implement the suggestion that you think is most appropriate. So at this stage, I would say probably the consensus is that there's a smaller increase in VAT, let's say 0.75%, and that there is some curtailment of expenditure in other categories, not salaries, not social payments, but in other categories in order to make the numbers work. And I think that for this year would be acceptable. The problem is that going forward, government has to come up with a way better plan to articulate how they're going to undertake expenditure, because at the moment, the government is simply not able to achieve fiscal discipline or fiscal consolidation on a sustained basis. And you can't really go year by year just simply allocating whatever you want to spend and then struggling, running around to find out how you're going to pay for it. And so we need a much more thoughtful approach to government expenditure, and I would argue a much more efficient approach to government expenditure. So I'm hoping that within this budget, government articulates exactly that, the need to look at each government department thoroughly, try and cut out a lot of the wasteful expenditure, and see whether or not we can't pull back on some of these longer-term expenditure items and put us in a favorable position so that we don't have to simply increase taxes every time government presents a budget. We can go through a phase where we provide both a stimulus to the South African economy through modest tax changes, but then are more thoughtful in terms of how we spend the budget overall. So I think that's going to be the focus. I'm certain that they'll come up with some solution. I get a feeling that that solution is probably not too difficult to reach in the shorter term. The question is not going to be that. The question is going to be, what is a sustainable achievement in terms of fiscal discipline going forward? And that's what we're going to be looking at the budget to see whether government is doing enough to put us on that better fiscal path. The second topic is an update on some of the most recent US economic data. We had the main employment report on Friday. And if I look at that employment report, it was decent. They created 151,000 jobs in the month. Yes, that was slightly below expectations, but a very solid outcome. If I look at the unemployment rate, it edged higher, but it's still comfortable at 4.1%. And there weren't any parameters within the labor market report that I think would cause significant concern. Overall, you would say that the labor market looks robust and it should allow the US economy to keep growing at a solid pace, at least in the short term. The focus in terms of markets and analysis has shifted, though. It shifted to what we call the survey data. The survey data tends to be more forward-looking. It comes out quite early in any particular month, and it's there to give us some guidance as to where the US economy is going. And if we look at a range of survey data, particularly the ISM Manufacturing Index, the confidence indices, They send in a couple of messages. The first is that consumers are becoming quite hesitant to purchase large ticket items. They're becoming more worried about inflation. They've become more worried about job security. And clearly, if Trump moves ahead with some of the tariff implementation measures and that those tariff increases become sustained, then it's entirely feasible that you'll see a downturn in consumer activity and an increase in inflation. The second dynamic that has come out relates to the manufacturing sector. And instead of the tariffs trying to boost manufacturing, it does appear at this stage that the opposite is happening. That if I look at new orders placed within the manufacturing ISM data, it fell off quite sharply. That suggests some hesitancy and some uncertainty. If I look at the employment indicator within that same metrics, the ISM manufacturing index, that fell off quite appreciably. And so it suggests that business is holding back. Business is adopting a more of a wait and see approach. It doesn't mean that this is disastrous. It simply means that given the number of changes that the Trump administration is implementing, it's create a high level of uncertainty, and that high level of uncertainty will feed into hesitancy, a lack of action, and a wait and see approach. I think you're going to see exactly the same approach from the Federal Reserve in terms of interest rates. I listened to Chairman Powell's speech on Friday afternoon, and he pretty much said exactly that. He said the survey data has weakened, so we've got to wait and see whether that translates into hard data. He said that they're in no rush to cut interest rates any further, and that they can afford to simply wait and see how this all works out. So I think that is the type of environment we're moving into. The problem is, in the background, economic growth rates are being revised lower, and some people are upping their estimates of, or the chance of, the US going into a recession. Now, we haven't heard discussion of a recession for quite some time, but it's come back onto the table. And I think it's been reinvigorated simply by the actions from the Trump administration. As I say, it doesn't mean that ultimately what he implements is that disastrous. But the sentiment is expressing a high degree of caution. We can see some of that play out in the equity market. And so I think, unfortunately, there's going to be an extended phase of wait and see, little action, a holding back on any big purchase, a holding back on fixed investment, until we have more clarity on the tariff regime, the retaliation from various countries, and what that all means for the competitiveness of the US economy. So that's all from me from this week. Hope it makes some sense, and we'll catch up in a week's time. Cheers for now.